Rodgers in trouble. It's going to get there. He turned 32 yesterday. Does he have a vintage moment in it? In the end zone, it is caught for the win. Richard Rodgers with a walk-off touchdown. A game ender for the Packers.
Welcome to the Glass Half Empty podcast. I'm Ryan Glasspiegel. Our guest today is Michael McCarthy, sports media reporter at Sporting News. We talked to him a little while back. Been a pretty quiet period in sports media since then, huh?
I went away for 2 weeks on vacation. All hell broke loose.
So the biggest story in sports media for the past couple weeks, and presumably for the foreseeable future, is Jamie Horowitz out of FS1 amidst a sexual harassment probe. Details are still trickling out about that. I would still say that it's alleged sexual harassment probe. I don't really feel too comfortable talking about the specifics of it extemporaneously until we have more information. But you had a report this week, and then again, obvious disclosure, my boss Jason McIntyre is an on-air personality at FS1. You had a story earlier this week that the bosses have made it known to the studio hosts, especially Skip Bayless and Colin Cowherd, that they need to spend less airtime discussing NBA, which Fox doesn't have the rights to, and more time talking baseball, soccer, UFC, and NASCAR. How in the world can Skip Bayless and Colin Cowherd have NASCAR segments?
Right. Does Martin Truex Jr. have the clutch gene? I hear that this has been building for a while. And now that Jamie is gone, Jamie was the protector. He was the guy who brought these guys in, Skip, Colin, Whitlock, you name them. And, you know, he was the guy, if somebody said, well, you should do this, you should do that, he was the guy who could say no, and, you know, they can go off and do whatever they want. Well, now Jamie's gone. Their protector is gone. And basically what I'm hearing, in some ways, does make sound business sense. You know, if you're Skip, you know, you can still talk about LeBron and the clutch gene, but at some point, if you have 6.5 hours of opinion-driven programming, it might not be a bad idea to talk about and debate some of the sports that actually air on the network rather than all NBA all the time. And as we all know, the NBA airs on ESPN and TNT. So I think it is, you are going to see a shift. I think you're already seeing it. I'm already seeing it on the website. I'm already seeing it on TV. And I think it's partly driven by some of the leagues who got in touch with the folks at Fox and said, you know, hey, what about it?
But it could be a double-edged sword, because people who go to Undisputed or The Herd for LeBron takes, I think, are going to change the channel over to First Take or Levitard or Bomani and Pablo when that starts, if the topic of conversation is NASCAR or UFC?
It is a double-edged sword, and you're making a very good point. You know, Mike Greenberg likes to say that it's the viewers and the listeners that determine what's interesting. You know, if him and Golic are talking about a topic, he gets instant reaction via social media if people are interested, and if they're not, he drops it. Now, as we all know, the NFL and the NBA are the two most interesting topics. They would drive all sports coverage, including, I might say, our own. But, you know, at the same time, I think there is an opportunity to talk about some of the interesting things that are going on in baseball. Baseball's having a fantastic year. Aaron Judge is, a breakout personality. There's certainly room to talk a lot about college football. As we know, you know, Fox is getting more and more college football rights. And, you know, many people would tell you that college football is actually the number two most popular sport in the country. So I think there's a way you could do both. I don't think it's an either-or black and white situation, Ryan, where, okay, they're just going to stop talking about this and start talking about this. But with all of those hours of debate programming, you could do both.
You know, that's true, but you brought up baseball as having a good season. I stare at traffic meters all day. Baseball does undeniably well regionally. The RSN deals, you'll hear that about Fox Sports when they talk about their relationship with baseball, how profitable it is to be airing like 120 games a year or whatever the number is in a local market. But people, as opposed to in basketball where they're consumed with these just otherworldly stars, and in football where people are obsessed with fantasy, I just don't understand. I don't see a desire to amongst baseball fans to hear about players nationally versus just caring about the players on their own team.
That's another good point. I mean, you made the argument, and I've heard this a lot, and I think there's a lot of validity to it, that baseball has become completely localized. It's a local sport. You only care about it, you know, when it's your Yankees or your Red Sox or your Dodgers or whatever. But at the same time, how do you know until you try it? Skip has been on the air almost a year. And, you know, sooner or later, the LeBron takes are going to get old. They aren't old already. You got to get some new material. I mean, and I said this when Undisputed first aired. I mean, to me, you know, Skip is starting to look like one of those 50s and 60s one-hit wonder bands where, you know, they go on tour and they play the same two or three songs. Well, you got to start coming up with some new songs. You know, I mean, there's a hell of a lot out there to discuss in baseball. There's a hell of a lot to talk about in college football, in the UFC, which, by the way, you know, has a deal with Fox that's about to expire. So if Fox is interested in keeping the UFC, maybe they want to talk about that a little bit more.
Who's Fox bidding against for UFC? Because everybody keeps saying that ESPN is not particularly interested in it.
I don't believe that. You know, I heard Simmons say that on his pod the other day with Jim Miller and Curtis. You know what I mean? They all thought that ESPN is not interested. I do think ESPN is interested. I think they're just playing their cards close to the vest because for the first time, ESPN has decided it's not going to bid against itself. I mean, there was a time there when ESPN was literally bidding against itself. I mean, they were throwing money around like a drunken sailor. Well, now, you know what I mean, it's fiscal responsibility time. So why should they, you know, play their cards, over the top and say how much they're interested in the UFC? No, they'll let the UFC come to them and bring the price down.
In your piece right after Jamie's ouster, you said that the sense that you were getting is that Skip could be not an imminent danger, but he may not be at this at FS1 or Fox Sports for 2-3 more years. Do you still get that sense? And what do you think is his situation right now?
I still get that sense. I got that sense as soon as, you know, I heard the Horowitz news, and I still get it now. Look, I'll tell you two reasons for that. Not that I heard anything like Skip is leaving or Skip's getting fired or Skip's show is getting canceled, but Skip was brought in as the face of the network. He gets the most money. Cowherd is actually on more hours than Skip, but everybody thinks of FS1 as Skip's baby now. And if FS1 disappoints Shanks and whoever comes in as Jamie's replacement, who are they going to blame? They're going to blame Skip. Here's another reason for that, too. This cuts both ways. Let's say Jamie ends up at another network, or one of these big technology companies comes into the business and decides they want to hire somebody to do programming and TV, sports debate, sports highlights, whatever it is. Well, you know what I mean? If there's an opportunity for them to go, if Horowitz resurfaces somewhere, do you think they're going to go? I think there's a good chance they might, especially if they get equal money.
Do you know whether Colin and Skip have contractual clauses that allow them to leave early if basically what happens?
I don't know that for a fact. I know that, you know, on the grapevine, I've heard that some major talents have been let out of their contracts early. I mean, there's an apocryphal story that nobody ever confirmed that ESPN let Beadle out of her contract early when she wanted to go over to NBC and take that big deal. So I don't know if that's a fact, but the thing about this ESPN layoff recently, and this really brought this home, you know what I mean? You and I have covered this business for a long time. We all hear about contracts, contracts, somebody's got a contract. Well, guess what? When push came to shove, when the rubber hit the road at ESPN, these contracts didn't matter squat, right? They wanted to get rid of somebody. They're willing to pay them for 2 years to do nothing. Okay? So, I mean, contracts are made to be broken. They really are in this business.
Right, but it's like, could he, I guess you said, like, with Beadle leaving ESPN, they might just let Skip leave. I can't see them letting Colin leave, though, because he's on more hours than Skip is, and he's also on that NFL kickoff show on Big Fox, which was pretty successful last year.
Yeah, it's a good point, but, you know, Ryan, in this world, we work for people, right? We don't work for letters. We don't work for companies. We work for people. Skip and Colin have been totally upfront about saying they went over to FS1 because of Jamie Horowitz, period, end of story. They wanted to work with Jamie Horowitz, right? Now let's say Fox brings in somebody else, whoever Horowitz's replacement is. He wants to take it in yet a fourth or fifth direction in the fourth or fifth time in their history. You know, who's to say they're going to be on board with that? Who's to say they're going to have anywhere near the relationship with Horowitz, with the new guy that they had with Horowitz? So, I mean, there's a lot of personal factors that play out, especially when you're talking about talent like that. Don't forget, ESPN wanted to keep both of them. Right? ESPN doesn't like to shout this out. They don't like to talk about it. But the fact is they negotiated very hard to keep those guys. So guys that big who have that many options always have a place to go to, usually when the push comes to shove. They always have an option.
Could you see Skip or Colin or both going back to ESPN?
Why not? Olbermann went back there.
3 months from now, let's say October 15th, do you think Katie Nolan is at ESPN yet?
No, from what I hear, Katie Nolan's contract runs through the end of this year. The last word I'm hearing on Katie Nolan is that Jamie Horowitz's departure makes it almost guaranteed that she's going to ESPN. I mean, you could kind of look at her public stance right now. She's not saying anything. She gives the appearance of somebody who's basically playing out her contract. And when I hear when she goes over to ESPN, she might not get a show right away, that they might use her in different ways. They'll put her on Greeny's show, and they'll put her on Bomani's new show, and they'll put her on SportsCenter, and let her weigh in with opinion, and let her, you know, make jokes and do humor. Bounce her around and see where she works.
You don't think that Fox is going to let her out of her deal instead of just paying her for another 5 months if, like, it's pretty clear she's leaving?
I don't know. I mean, letting out her deal, I mean, the year's half over. You know what I mean? We're most of the way through July, and her deal expires at the end of the year. I mean, it's not like she's got, like, 2 years left. So I think they just let her play out her contract quietly. You know, she stays on the sidelines, and then, boom, she goes.
Do you see 3 years from now FS1 having these general sports studio shows, or do you think they're just going to like air reruns of UFC and soccer and like darts during the day?
Boy, I mean, that's a great question now, especially when you consider what they've done with their website. You know, let's say somebody new comes in and replaces Jamie, has a whole new strategy, then they take it in another direction. But, I mean, the way sports is going, it's all going towards video now. You know, their website is basically, they just turned it into a, you know, glorified YouTube page. So maybe they could go in that direction. But, you know, the thing about Fox is the reason why they launched a cable network, the reason why they were launching two cable networks was to compete with ESPN for rights. If they don't have those cable networks, they go right back to being like a CBS, pre-CBS SN, and right back to a disadvantage. So I think they're going to do something. I mean,
well, can't they just?
They're not going to get rid of these shows right away.
I mean, I don't want them to do this because I want Jason to have a successful career there. Second of all, I want there to be competition for ESPN, so there's a general marketplace of ideas. Third of all, if FS1 gets out of the studio business, that's a lot less interesting stories for people of your and my ilk. But, like, why couldn't they just air, intellectually, like, why couldn't they just air baseball and UFC and stuff at night and punt during the day, kind of like what NBCSN does other than the Florio show?
Well, you know, then that it would be a big admission by Fox that they're giving up. You know, don't forget, and look, I'm not discounting what you're saying. You know, in this crazy time, you know, anything's possible. But don't forget, when they launched FS1, the one for fun, you know what I mean? They were the ones coming out there, beat their chest, saying they're going to take on ESPN. Well, what are you going to do? You're going to fold up shop after 4 or 5 years and basically just run, you know, reruns of international soccer games? Or are you going to, you know, stay the course? I don't think Fox is at that point where they're ready to throw in the towel.
Do you have any ideas about who could be Jamie's successor running the network when after Shanks passes it off?
You know, I've heard a bunch of names. I don't feel comfortable throwing them out there until I do more reporting and I get more confirmation. You know, I think it's likely that it could come from within Fox. They tend to hire from within. But, you know, Shanks is, you know, obviously going to have a lot of different names available. I mean, it's a big job. Obviously, you get a lot of attention, you know, just from having that job. And, you know, it's practically a clean slate in some ways. I mean, right now, they've got two shows with a third coming, right? So there's still an opening for a late night show. Right. So you've got exactly. So you've got the opportunity to do a late night show. You've got an opportunity to do a 9 o'clock show in between First Things First and Speak for Yourself. And you got an afternoon opportunity to do an afternoon show that'll be a lead into Speak for Yourself. So I think there are opportunities there for a smart, sharp programmer to really put his or her stamp on the network.
If First Things First with Nick Wright and Chris Carter averages 65,000 viewers between launch and New Year's Day 2018, is that a success or a failure?
I think it'd be a success, given that they're starting from absolute zero. I mean, there's nothing in that time slot right now. It's just a black hole. And if there's any way they can give Skip a lead in, they're going to be very happy because, again, as we discussed earlier in the pod, you know, Skip is it. He gets all the promotion. You know what I mean? He's the number one dog there, you know, for in terms of everybody else. So, I mean, if they can do something in the morning, if Chris and Nick are able to pick off some viewers and give Skip a bump, then I think it will be deemed a success.
The digital upheaval has been pretty exhaustively documented and discussed, but at first I want to say I think that it was a bad idea because they easily could have kept like bare bones editorial and still had people like Bruce Feldman and Ken Rosenthal, people with real original proprietary content that, like, through their years of work and connections, nobody else is going to have. I think they could have, like, kept some people like that and had just a little bit of, like, a skeleton writing crew on the site. But that being said, when people criticize how it's working and point to the homepage, I think that this whole thing was done with a design. We don't care about the page view metric. We don't care if anybody comes to our website. We want to maximize video views in aggregate wherever they come from, whether that's Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, you name it. We are totally punting on the website. But it just looks, the website looks so bad with all of these videos with titles that, like, I can't imagine anybody would, like, choose to watch on a homepage. That they
yes.
really set themselves up for this criticism.
Yeah, I'm with you. I totally agree. I mean, what journalism, sports journalism, the company wouldn't want, you know what I mean, these guys writing for their their websites. You know, who wouldn't want Ken Rosenthal? You know what I mean? The Feldmans breaking stories that are going to drive the news cycle. I mean, I'm hoping that this business will turn around. I'm hoping that, you know what I mean, there's been so much aggregation and so much copycat type journalism out there. I'm hoping that the Feldmans of the world and the Rosenthal's of the world will come to the fore again, because you could say, as you say, they do original, unique content. They break news that nobody else has. They're not the 10th website doing the same story about the same funny video. They're telling you something you don't know. So I would love to see that that change happen. I'd love to see them writing again for the site, but I agree with you. I mean, what they're doing now is inexplicable to me.
So NFL ratings this year, they took a big hit with the election, and there was just, I sense some general fatigue with the NFL, but they've really been quiet this offseason. There hasn't been a big scandal. There hasn't been a huge news story. I think that the ratings rebound, maybe not quite to 2015 levels, but most of the way there. What do you think this year?
I don't. I think that this ratings drop last year was due to driving factors, but I mean, seeing a lot of very confident, rosy estimates that ratings are going to bounce right back, and I don't think that's the case. I think there is some softness there with some viewers. I think there's some viewers who have maybe only been turned off by the NFL for a variety of reasons, who aren't coming back and who aren't watching TV anymore. They're getting their NFL news on their phones. And I also think there's some softness in the advertising market. Advertising Age, you know, recently reported that Cialis and Viagra aren't coming back. Well, that's $50 million they're going to have to replace. You know, the good news is we're not going to have to see those Cialis bathtub ads anymore. But, you know, the bad news for the NFL is that there is softness in their product. And I can't even believe I'm saying this, because for 20 years, the NFL was supposed to be impregnable. But I do think they're having some trouble with both viewers and advertisers.
The sports leagues and the sports media companies should all be praying to their lucky stars that gambling gets legalized in this country, because that just opens a whole new wave of advertisers who are going to be flush with cash.
Yeah, I mean, I think the way that these leagues and even the owners have grabbed onto that daily fantasy before anybody knew what the hell it was shows you what they really feel about gambling. They feel it's a very important part of their business. They feel it drives fans' viewership. But at the same time, I got to tell you, the way they jumped all over those daily fantasy companies and tried to make, you know what I mean, a nation of NFL fans into daily fantasy players really left a bad taste in my mouth. I mean, what you're really getting down to here is gambling. And if you try to turn all NFL viewers into daily fantasy players, some of those people are going to get addicted to gambling. So I think they rushed into it way too quickly, as you're seeing now with all the problems in that industry. You know what I mean? They should have taken more of a wait-and-see approach. But I agree with you that, you know, that ship has sailed. I mean, whatever reservations critics like me may have, you know, they're all aboard with gambling.
Anything interesting in sports media we haven't discussed? It's kind of quick, but I think we covered FS1. Any big ESPN stories on your radar?
Well, the ESPN thing that's really interesting to me is what kind of happens post-layoffs. You know, the ESPN is still hiring people. They're still giving out contracts. But you could see the difference. I mean, look at the Mark Schlereth thing this week. You know, by all accounts, Schlereth was a very popular guy. People loved him in ESPN. But you know what? When it came time to cut the numbers, they didn't offer him a contract. And why is that? Because ESPN wants people who are right off the field. They don't want Ron Jaworski or Mark Schlereth who retired 20 years ago. They want people who retired 2 years ago or last season. Talk about today's NFL, because it's so different. And I think that you're going to see that a lot from ESPN over the coming months and the coming years. I think the analysts are going to get younger across sports. It's going to be a lot more diversity. And I think you're going to see a lot of the old war horses eased out.
I think a lot of the digital people, like, all right, so we've talked about FS1. Everybody is a Jamie guy there. at ESPN on our last podcast, like Donahue and Kosner were out. Kosner ran the whole digital operation. If you're a digital person and you're a Kosner guy, I think you might be looking over your shoulder a little bit right now.
Yeah, it is. You know, digitally, it doesn't seem like they have a lot going on, like a great story to tell. You know what I mean? The Undefeated is getting good reviews and a couple other things. But, I mean, Kosner was the guy who ran that. And, you know, who's going to take over their digital thing after this? I mean, it's really an open question. I've never seen ESPN in such a state of flux. I mean, even, you know, the Donahue move was stunning. You know, even to people like, you know, Miller. I mean, you know, she was about as close to Skipper as you can get. She's out.
Is there any backstory there that you've heard with Kosner and Donahue? Or is it just that Kosner didn't want to report to Connor Schell and decided I've had a good run and I'm out?
That was the rumor, that Kosner didn't want to report to Connor Schell, you know, who's kind of the new executive there. You know, Connor Schell got so much under his belt now that he's really positioned himself as the successor to Skipper if they want another content person. You know what I mean? The knock on Skipper has always been that he's not the greatest businessman. He's great at content, great at storytelling, he's a great talent picker, but he's not a good businessman. So if Disney has its way, they might want, you know what I mean, whoever succeeds Skipper to be more of a business person, more of a Bodenheimer.
Anything else interesting that's on your radar that we haven't discussed?
Very interesting to see how these new morning shows are going to do. You know, the morning shows have always been great for headline and copies, you know, the various battles among the network morning shows. And now you got two all-new morning shows that are going to be competing in New York. Mike Greenberg, of course, for ESPN, and Chris Carter and Nick Wright for FS1. So I'm going to be following those real closely.
We talked about this before, but Greenberg almost needs ratings gains year over year to be considered anything close to a success, given that they're moving him to New York, they're breaking up a successful franchise, they are bringing in ensemble people that they're going to have to give new deals to. That's not going to be an inexpensive endeavor.
Yeah, they are putting a big investment in Mike Greenberg, and we'll see if it pays off. You know, I can tell you this, you know, Greenberg, to me, is taking it very seriously. He's not coming in like a prima donna. I mean, the fact that he's meeting already with advertisers and inviting them to be partners in the show, and, you know, how can we do a live read? How can we do this and how can we do that? Well, as you and I know, that's half the battle. If you get the sponsors on board, they're not going to worry so much about ratings. If you don't have any sponsors, if you don't get any ratings, that's when you lose your job.
Well, the sponsors are worried about ratings. They want to reach as many people as they can.
That's right. But if they feel that they're getting their bang for the buck in terms of targeted advertising, native advertising, you know, on-air promos and that kind of thing, they're less likely to jump ship rather than buying a 30-second spot.
I think that's fair to say. Thank you very much for coming on again. Hopefully we can do this once every month or so.
My pleasure. I look forward to it.
All right. Bye, Mike. Have a great rest of the week.
All right. You too.
We're not strong.